Good morning, Rabbi Sai. Welcome to a new week of Torah Way. Rabbi Pesach Kron encourages people that if they're thinking of how to entertain people at their Shabbos table, how they should conduct the Shabbos table together with their families. So he encourages people that everybody during the week experiences some sort of bashet, you know, where they feel that things are more than just a coincidence, things happen to them that are min ha-shamayim. And he says that he suggests that maybe on Friday night at the Shabbos table, every family member during the week should make a note of any bashet that occurs to them, and then they can discuss it. So I just wanted to tell you something that I mentioned at my Friday night meal, which was to do with the halacha that I said here last Friday. So we're dealing with the period from Lag BaOmer up till Shavuos. And it came out that I mentioned on Friday that the coming Friday, not last week, Friday, but the coming Friday, which will be Chof Ches Iyar, yeah, is the Yahrzeit of Shmuel HaNovi. I mentioned that the Shmuel HaNovi is buried together with his parents, together with his two sons, and that the Sfaradim in particular, they all go up there and they make a big asifa and they daven there, etc., on Chof Ches Iyar. So that was the halacha that I mentioned, and in a way I was speaking a week ahead. And then after the after Torah Way, when I was looking at the notes of the Nitei Gavriel at the bottom of the page, he brings down there Uva Eliyarabe Hevi Shiyeshoimim Shameis Bechof Aleph Iyar. The some will say that he was Nifter on last Friday, in which case I got it on exactly. It was Bashet that I should mention the death of Shmuel HaNovi, because according to some that was on Chof Aleph Iyar, although it's generally taken on Chof Ches Iyar. So now we move on. Once we get past Chof Ches Iyar, the next event, if you like, is Erev HaShchodesh. And Erev HaShchodesh, a lot of us who've got emails will be inundated by various moistus with the Tfilas HaShloh to daven for good children. And that's a Tfilah for Erev HaShchodesh Sivan. A Tfilah that the Shloh composed that a person should daven for his children, that they should be Matzliach in Torah, and they should be Eilech Eden, etc. And people are encouraged to say that. I must say, when I was younger, I'd never heard of it. But now, I think it's to do with modern media, yeah? Everybody can get, you know, you get a copy from this moysod and a copy from that moysod, and your shul sends it around, etc., to daven for. And the question is, what's special about Erev Rosh Chodesh Sivan? Yeah? Erev Rosh Chodesh, we know, is a Zman Kaporo. That's why there are that's why there are slichas for Erev Rosh Chodesh, and it is a Zman Kaporo. Again, because HaKadosh Baruch Hu says, Kaviyochel, this is the time when the moon is the least visible. The moon is going to become visible, but the world is dark. There is no light from the moon at the end of the month. And therefore it's a dark period, Kaviyochel. That's why in the second half of the month, some people are makpid, they don't make chasnas. And generally speaking, things are considered on the up when the moon is waxing, and on the down when the moon is waning. And the moon is most waned, if you like, it's the least appearance, it will be on Erev Rosh Chodesh. And then Rosh Chodesh comes along, you've got the moilot, and you've got the moon appearing fresh, and we have a fresh impetus. So he says as follows, Yesh na'agin lehisanos b'myuchud b'Erev Rosh Chodesh Sivan. Even though every Erev Rosh Chodesh is a Zman Kaporo, and there are some people who only say Yom Kippur Cotton on Erev Rosh Chodesh Elul, I think, and on Erev Rosh Chodesh Sivan. There are some people who say Yom Kippur Cotton every Erev Rosh Chodesh. Yeah, they make a minyan, and if they're fasting, they can line Vayichal, etc. So we know that Erev Rosh Chodesh is a Zman Kaporah. Erev Rosh Chodesh is a Zman of Slichas. If you're saying Slichas, then there's got to be a reason for it. And if you call it Yom Kippur Cotton, then it has to be a serious day. But Erev Rosh Chodesh Sivan seems to be special. Erev Rosh Chodesh Sivan seems to be slightly different from all the others. So Manishtana Erev Rosh Chodesh Sivan from every other Erev Rosh Chodesh. And he brings down, Yeshnoigin Lesanus Bimiyuchud Erev Rosh Chodesh Sivan. There's some people who have, in particular, even if they don't fast any, all other Erev Rosh Chodeshes, if that's the plural of Erev Rosh Chodesh, or Avei Rosh Chodesh, I think it must be. Yeah, the And the question is, Ma Nishtano Erev Rosh Chodesh Sivan from all the months? And Blineda, for those of you who will be here tomorrow, you get an answer.
Start to the Torah Way Northwest London Sunday, Kaf Gimel Iyar, 10th of May, Rabbi Sholem Siegel Shlita, the Smicha controversy. This week's Torah is sponsored Lunishmas Rabbi Rup and Rabbi Mordechai Cohen Zatzal. His Nifta, his Yad site was on Friday. For Lunishmas, our esteemed founder of Yosef Dov Ben Roshim and Chol Tzvi Itzkowitz and Bruno Lebrocha.
Thank you, good morning. Before I begin, I just apologize, my voice is a little bit weak at the moment, but hopefully the contents will, the show will make up for it. Thank you. What I want to speak about Be'ezat Hashem this morning, the Smicha controversy, is regarding one of the big controversies that rocked Eretz Yisrael almost 500 years ago. And that is the, in a nutshell, what seems to have happened. Some of it is filling in blanks. Some of it is a little bit conspiracy theory-like as well. But what seems to have happened was the following. There was a big, big influx, a big arousal from the many people in the public who wanted to do teshuva. Kanireh was the Moranos, or from that sort of that ilk. They realized that they were in big trouble. In the main, having served Avod Zarah, and they were concerned that what they'd done carries koris with it. And they also knew that the Gemara says, towards the end of Malkus, Daf Chaf Gimel, it says that if a person is chayav koris, he gets Malkus, then that will exempt him from the koris. So they went to the Rabbonim in Sefas. Sefas at the time, that was the epicenter of Torah, more so than Yerushalayim. We're talking about the time, yeah, the Beis Yosef, the Mari Bei Rav, the Al Sheikh. We're talking about the absolute, this was the golden era in Tzfas. And they implored to them, please give us Malkus. They said, we can't. To give Malkus, you have to have a Beis Din, you have to have a Sanhedrin, you've got to have Smicha. Proper Smicha, right? Smicha, the real thing, not what we have today, right? The proper thing of Smicha. As the Mishnah towards the beginning of Sanhedrin, right? Smicha, you need Gimel, it's got to be conferred by three people. Based it. They wouldn't take no for an answer, and they kept pressuring, and eventually they prevailed. The Mari Bei Rav, he was the leading figure there in Tzfas. The Mari Bei Rav was the rebbe of people such as the Marbit, arguably the Beis Yosef, the Chidor. He, Tain is, it's not possible he was the rebbe of the Beis Yosef, but the Mari Bei Rav, he was the leading figure there in Tzfas, and he said, you know what, we're going to do it. What's the basis? The answer is a Rambam. The shit of the Rambam is that we can kickstart the process of Smicha. The Rambam writes in Pirush HaMishnayos and Sanhedrin, again towards the beginning there, he says, Nirni Advarim, it would appear to me, just logically, that we have the ability to, if Kol HaChachomim, if all the Chachomim of that Zman, they all come together, and they agree on a certain individual, they can confer Smicha on him, just by virtue of the fact that everyone's in agreement on this person. And once he's got Smicha, then with two others, although the Rambam's a little bit unsure whether the other two have to first get Smicha, or whether no, once he's got Smicha, he can take two people with him, and then they will be the three people who will confer Smicha on others, and we can start the whole process like that. Says the Rambam, it must be that we can do such a thing, because otherwise it's inconceivable that we've lost forevermore, the whole thing of Smicha. Because we know once we went into Godus, the destruction of the Beis Hamikdash, Godus, Smicha can't be passed on in Godus, outside Eretz Yisrael. And it would seem, therefore, we've lost the whole chain of Smicha. So what are you going to say? It's lost forever? It can't be. Must be we have the ability to kickstart it like this.
Can you explain what is Smicha? What are we going to be doing when we're saying something?
It's basically, they actually, it's, in that sense, it's
like
a bit like the.
Just giving what is it?
Essentially, it's three, a base of three people.
But it will not have a hemshot from Moshe Rabbeinu.
Oh, so that's the chiddush. The chiddush is, even though it doesn't have a hemshot, there has been a break in between. The Rambam, that's the chiddush of the Rambam. Not everyone's going to agree with that.
So it's what we call smicha today. When you give a rov as smicha, you're just appointing him as a rabbi. You're saying he's a qualified
person. Not quite, because it does come with a much greater, put it this way, for a start, much greater powers. It's much more meaningful as well.
That's what I'm asking. What
yeah, no, no, it's for sure, it's a continuation. It is a continuation. It's just a chiddush. It can sort of skip. But we're talking about Sanhedrin. This is what's going to create the Sanhedrin. You have the power to do all sorts of things. Right? So that's the chiddush of the Rambam. That's the chiddush of the Rambam. Yeah? So, fine. Does the Rambam actually bring it lahalacha? The answer is, if you take a look in Hilchas Sanhedrin, Perek Dalet, I think it's halacha Yudalef, he brings it there as well. Same idea, he starts off, that this is what would appear to me, and he goes through it, but he ends off with the words, v'hadovar tzorich hechreya. Something there, the Rambam is not absolutely convinced about. He's a little bit masupuk. The question is what? He leaves it out of tzorich hechreya. Fine. But that's the Rambam, I think also in Pirush HaMishnayos and Bukhari, he also refers to it. Fine. That's the Rambam. So the Maribe Rav, he said, no problem, let's go ahead with it. And he started the process. Kanireh, he asked them in Tzfas to keep it under wraps. We'll soon see why. He didn't want them to find out in Yerushalayim. However, pressure was put on him. You can't do that. You've got Gedolim in Yerushalayim, such as the Maharal Bach. He was probably, he was the leading figure in Yerushalayim. The Maharal Bach was the son of the Mahari Ibn Choviv, the Ein Yaakov. He was the Gadol in Yerushalayim. He says, you can't just snub him. You have to ask him. We have to get the consent of in Yerushalayim as well. So eventually Mari Beirav said, fine. And what he did was the following. He had a Talmud in Yerushalayim. The Talmud's name was Ramoshe di Kastra. I don't know if I've pronounced it right, but that was his name. And you had the Maharal Bach. So he sent to the Talmud, to Ramoshe, he asked him, asking for his agreement to what they were doing. The Maharal Bach, he didn't ask for his agreement. He just sent him, like you said, a Tu'udah, saying that we're conferring smicha upon you. The reason, the seeming reason why he did it like this is because there was pressure upon him. You have to get some sort of consent from that Rabbanim in Yerushalayim. He knew from past experience the Maharal Bach was highly unlikely to agree. The Maharal Bach and the Maribe Rav is a bit like Baal Amor and Ramban. Whatever one said, the other one would probably say the opposite. He knew that there's already been a lot of heated machlokes in Torah, but there'd been a couple of Gittin, one in Tzfas. There was another case of a get in Chalab. Then there was a case of Kiddushin in Mitzrayim, where they had a big disagreement. There was a case in Amar Guna. Then there was very shot in the Rambam. There'd been some very, very heated arguments in the past. And he knew the Maharal Bach probably wouldn't agree. So what he did was, he asked for his Talmud's consent. He thought the Talmud's not going to disagree with his Rebbe. And then when he writes back that he agrees, I can show everyone, look, we've got consent from Yerushalayim. As for the Maharal Bach, you can't ignore him. He knew the Maharal Bach. He recognized the Maharal Bach's Gadlus and Torah. So we'll give him smicha. The problem was that it basically backfired. He didn't envisage that his Talmud would disagree, but that's exactly what happened. His Talmud wrote back, saying with a whole long teshuva why he disagreed. The Maharal Bach sent back the smicha, saying, I'm not taking the smicha, you can't do such a thing. Basically, there was a shliach who went, and there was a bit of back and forth with the shliach as well. So they sent back, so the Maharal Bach wrote back a kuntras why he disagreed with it. The Talmud wrote a teshuva why he disagreed with it. And in the meantime, the Maribe Rav wrote his first kuntras, what he called the Igeres HaSmicha, in which he explained what he was doing. But then he gets back these responses from Yerushalayim. So the first thing he did was, he wrote an absolutely scathing, scathing letter to his Talmud, where he basically ends up, after going through literally point by point, refuting it and saying, you don't know what you're talking about. But he ends off and he says, you should know, for the chutzpah that you've shown to disagree with your Rebbe, be'etzem, I wanted to put you in Nidri. I wanted to put you in Chayram. However, they asked me here, please don't take such action, so I'm holding back. But he was very, very upset with his Talmud. Fine. But he wrote a response, but not yet a response to the Maharal Bach. The Maharal Bach, now having seen the Igeres HaSmicha, seeing the Maribe Rav's actually recorded position on the matter, he wrote a second kuntras now, Maharal Bach's second kuntras, refuting, asking on that. You see, the Maribe Rav, it seems he thought there was collaboration between his Talmud and the Maharal Bach. Which is safe because they were very, very similar points of that they both raised. But it seems that they weren't, because the Talmud, Badafki, tried not to involve the Maharal Bach. He didn't want to make a big thing of it. He's disagreeing with his Rebbe. Then the Maribe Rav, he wrote a response to the second kuntras of the Maharal Bach. The Maharal Bach then wrote a third kuntras, refuting the Maribe Rav, and there were a couple of addendums after that. B'kitzur, what happens after that is, we do know that it did go ahead. Okay, there's a little bit in between. The Mari Beit Rav had to flee from Tzfasaka once or twice, but he did confer smicha, definitely on the Marbit and the Beis Yosef, a couple of others as well. It then went on from there. It definitely went through another couple of generations because the Marbit, the Beis Yosef conferred smicha then on the Al Sheikh HaKadosh. The Al Sheikh then did it on Reb Chaim Vital. However, after that, it seems, we're talking about 100 years it went for, and then it seemed to basically go quiet. Why it went quiet is a bit of a mystery. Why did it not continue after that? Rav Tukachinsky in his Sefer, Ir HaKodesh V'Hamikdash in Chelek Daled, he's got a little bit of the background to this. He says it's not, as you would think, because of the big machlokes that was erupting here. He says he does not believe that was the reason, because besides anything else, the Radvaz who came from Mitzrayim, he was already asked about his opinion, and he opposed it as well. But he arrived in Eretz Yisrael during this period. And we don't find when he came to Eretz Yisrael a single peep out of him that he had any objection or anything like that. It seems that he'd made his point, and after that he accepted it, and that's it, let it run its course. So Rav Tukachinsky, he theorizes that what basically happened was that because there was like the eventual dispersion, B'chol Ha'arotzos, Tzfas, you know, after 100 years, gradually there was this dissipation of the golden era of Tzfas, and therefore they were dispersed amongst the various Goluyas, and therefore just because of that, it gradually, the whole thing fell apart. That's the background to the whole thing of the Yismicha. What were the tainas against it? Right? What were the main tainas that the Maharal Bach, Ramosha Di Castro, and the Radvaz, what were their main issues with the Ma'ariv Rav's idea of starting Smicha, and what were his responses? So again, there's really one or two I want to concentrate on, just very briefly. The first point is, some of it is just fascinating if you read the background to it, is, first of all, they said, look, when we're talking about, even according to the Rambam seems to be talking about somebody who can be Moira Hayro B'chol HaTorah Kulo. For example, the Radvaz says he doesn't believe in our times, I was reading the Radvaz's times, there's such a person who exists. And they said, with the greatest respect, like, we don't have such a person. So the Ma'aribe Rav wrote back, he responded to that, and he saw a need for him to do it, and he shed the cloak of humility, of Anov, and he basically said, do you know who you're talking to? And he talks about himself. And he talks about from his youth, Ada Yemazeh, he basically says, I am that person. I am that person. He says, I know you're going to think this is a show of Gaiva, but you have to know the truth. That was one of the addendums that the Maharal Bach wrote. He was not very impressed with that. But that was one point of contention. Another point of contention was that the Rambam makes it very clear, both in Pirush HaMishnayos and in Mishneh Torah, it's got to be Kol HaChachomim. All the Chachomim have to agree. Now he said, I'm not going to disagree with you on this. There's no debating this. Tzfas, by far, has the majority of the Chachomim right now. However, you don't have all the Chachomim. You've got this Talmud. You've got the Maharal Bach. We are in Yerushalayim. You can't ignore us. And we don't agree with it. The Maharibei Rav, they said, no. Rubo Kekula is good enough. Acharei Rav Minhatos, yes, the Rambam says kol, but it just means a normal kol. And that was a point of disagreement. Is it kol, or is it rubai kukuloi? Is the majority enough on which to go?
Where did he get that from?
Where did who go?
Why all have to agree to bring back smicha?
Because that's what the Rambam says. Kol.
Yeah, but where did he get it from?
He says it, the Rambam, he doesn't bring Makaris to this.
Okay.
He says it off his own back, because he says, otherwise, like he's asking, we've had a break in it, so how is it going to restart? We don't have anyone to restart it. So the Rambam says, logically, it has to be there's a process to do it. So what's going to be the way? If you get all the Chachomim together, and all of us together can work on it, and we come to a decision. How did the Rambam, is there more to it? I don't know, but that's what the Rambam writes. He doesn't say where he gets it from.
We don't agree on anything.
Well, that's the question. Can we all, or can't we? We'll see. But
how are we signing off on the Rambam? Mentioned that the Rambam himself says,
I'm coming to them. Very good, we're coming to that. Okay, that was the second point of contention. Is it Dafka Kol, or is it no, the normal Kol, meaning Rubber Kukudai? I will just mention, by the way, after the big backlash from Yerushalayim, some of the Rabbonim in Tzfas did actually remove their support for it. Right? But again, not enough to make it to sway the majority. Fine. A third point which was raised is, fine, it's very nice, you're going to go ahead and you're going to make your base in your Sanhedrin. What's going to be with Kiddush HaChodesh? What's going to be with Yom Tov Sheni? What's going to be with all these things? And they raised certain issues to which the Ma'ariv Rav said, no, we never ever intended to create a Sanhedrin for any of this. The question, can you have for half, yes and half not? But he says, that's not the point over here. The main Nukudah over here was to deal with the Malkus. There may have been other Nukudahs as well, there are theories about it. But that we were not trying to start getting involved in things which are more contentious, more difficult to get involved in. But yes, one of the biggest questions is, what you just asked, that the Rambam himself says, V'soreh chachrei abadovor. So Kanirah, the Rambam himself was undecided on it. To which the Ma'ariv Rav wrote back, he wrote to his Talmud and he said, you don't know how to read the Rambam. You don't know how to learn a piece of Rambam. He says, look at the Rambam and you'll see. And he says, if you look in Pirush HaMishnah, you'll see that that's where the Sofik lay. It's not in the concept of being able to kickstart it. The Rambam Sorech Echrea means the Rambam wasn't sure when it comes to the three people who are going to confer the smicha, do all of them have to have smicha already? Or is it enough that we got one who got smicha, he can then get two people with him and then go ahead? That's the Sorech Echrea Badova. Read the Rambam inside, and that's he was absolutely convinced that's the Sorech Echrea Badova. The others weren't so convinced about it. So, as I said, the main nukudah I want to really speak about is the following. And it's really somewhat of a challenge on the Rambam himself, the logic. Like you're saying, where did the Rambam get it from? So the Rambam says, because it's inconceivable that we've lost smicha forever. So they said to that, the Maharal Bach said, and the others, they said, what's the problem? Why would we have lost it forever? What about Eliyahu? Eliyahu Anobi, Eliyahu HaTishbi, he's going to come. He's going to come before Moshiach. Right, the Gemara will come to Be'ez Hashem, the Gemara says in Erevin, he's going to come, Eliyahu, he never died, Eliyahu had smicha, and he will be the one who will start it again. I'll tell you, the Radvaz says, besides that, you've also got the 10 lost tribes. Again, there's discussion, the Radvaz has got another teshuva where he takes on, it's inconceivable as well, that they will never come back. Even the Manda Oma in Sanhedrin says they won't return, it means as the 10 tribes as a whole. But he says definitely individuals must come back. It's impossible to say that such a large part of Klal Yisrael, so many Shvatim, have been lost forever. Can't be. And he says maybe they've got smicha. To that, many say, yeah, but they're not living in Eretz Yisrael, so how could they still have smicha? Okay. But that's the main nukud that we're going to speak about is, what about Eliyahu? So the Ma'ariv Rav said back to that, he said, that's not a taina, because Eliyahu is a malach. A malach can't come for a smicha. Torah lo v'ashomayim hi. We know Torah is not going to come from Shomayim. Eliyahu is a malach. The malach habris, he's a malach. A malach can't confer smicha. So that one's out. What was the Maharal Bach? What's his answer to that? It's a good taina. So the answer to that seems to be like this. There's a beautiful piece of Chasam Sofer. But the Chasam Sofer asked the following question. There's a Gemara in Erevin, Mem Gimel, Amud Aleph to Amud Beis there, where it discusses over there whether Yish Tchumin Lamalo Me'asara or Ein Tchumin Lamalo Me'asara. The din of Tchum Shabbos, does it apply above Tan Tzfochim or not? If a person was to get some sort of jetpack and fly above Tan Tzfochim, could he go as far as he wants on Shabbos? Would there be an Issof Tchumin? So the Gemara, the last raya the Gemara brings, it brings a brisa, and in this brisa it says, a person says, on the day that Ben David bo, on the day when Moshiach comes, Moshiach Ben David, I am being makabel nazirus upon myself. So it could be Be'etzim, it could be any day. So the brisa says, he's got to be choshish any day, he could come. So therefore he can't have wine any day, with exception of Shabbos and Yom Tov. Apparently on Shabbos and Yom Tov, it's impossible for Moshiach to come. Why? Says the Gemara, must be because Tuchumin. Moshiach can't come because of the problem of Tuchumin. To that, the Gemara says, no, that's not the problem. No, Taka in Tuchumin Amalam Yasara, Moshiach could come. The reason why Moshiach can't come on Shabbos is because in order for Moshiach to come on Shabbos, it means Eliyahu had to come the day before. Because it brings the Pasuk in Malachi that Eliyahu is going to come to be Mavaser to inform us that, you know, he's going to come. So the Gemara says, hold on a second. So what's the problem? Yeah, but Eliyahu didn't come on Friday. Right? Eliyahu didn't come on Friday. So to which the Gemara says, well, then any day of the week. Right? Let's say on a Wednesday. I should be able to drink wine. I know Moshiach's not coming today because Eliyahu didn't he didn't arrive yesterday. I'll come to what the Gemara, I'll tell you already now. The Gemara says to that, who says he didn't come? Maybe he did come. We won't hear about it in London. He's not coming here. He'll go to the Beit HaNagodol in Eretz Yisrael. There's a bit of back and forth, but one of the things which is clear over there is that Eliyahu, the Gemara says, well, what about on Sunday? Right, what about on Sunday? Today, could Moshiach come today? It depends on whether Eliyahu could have come on Shabbos. And the Gemara is clearly taking on that Eliyahu, if you say there's an Issur of Tuchumin, that would be the reason why Eliyahu can't come. Well, hold on a second.
You can have a bris on Shabbos.
Oh. Frek the Chasm Sofer. What about a bris on Shabbos? Yeah. And what about on Pesach? We all know, Rabbi Yul did Shvei Chamoscha, and he's always busy going from one house to the other, and he's going all over the place. Tchumen applies on Yom Tov as well. So what's going on? So is Eliyahu subject to the Issur Tchumen or not? And we find other Gemaras where Eliyahu seems to be subject, as a Tosfos in Bava Metzia, which seems to indicate that Eliyahu, because Eliyahu is there, Pinchas, he's subject to the Issur of Tumah, so he is subject to the all the dinim, or he's a malach. I mean, make up your mind. What's going on over here? But Ezra, I'll tell you, there's another interesting question as an aside. We all learn in the Gemara, whenever we've got a question, undecided, it says Teku. No, what does Teku stand for? We all know Tishbi Yataris Kushias Feboyas. So in the Sefer Shefatal, the Sefer Shabsi Horovitz, possibly a cousin of the Shloah Kodesh, he says, no, Tishbi is not going to come and answer any of our questions. So Mishnah at the end of Idios, he's not coming to answer any questions. He says, rather, what it means is, if we have time, we'll come back to this at the end, Tishbi Yaturtsu Kushias Feboyas. When Eliyahu comes, there'll be such clarity in the world, you won't have any questions anymore. Yaturtsu, they will be answered. He says, but one thing is for sure, Eliyahu is not coming to answer questions. So what's going on over here? How do we piece this all together? Says the Chasam Sofer, beautiful. Says the Chasam Sofer, we know the story in Melachim, that Eliyahu ascended in a chariot of fire. What that means is that his body was left down here, and his neshama went up in fire. And Eliyahu comes back, sometimes as a malach, but other times he comes back, and he goes back into his body, and he comes back as a human being. His body was left down here for him to come back. Kanireh, that is what we call Gilui Eliyahu. You know, I remember a number of years ago, I was learning with a Talmud one evening in Tzadi Ger. Somebody came in all excited that, I think it's Rabbi Eliyahu Mann, right, who was very, very close to Avdim Chaim L'Chaim, Rabbi Chaim Kanievsky, Tzadi Kedavrocha. He just phoned somebody in London. He says, listen to this Maisa. I'm telling you, I just saw this Maisa myself. I was sitting there learning with Rabbi Chaim, and whilst we were learning, one of his sons came in, and he said, Reb Chaim said to his son, he was a bit upset with him, he said, why didn't you come to the bris this morning? It was a mishpacha, a bris there, where were you? So the son said, Abba, I was there. So Reb Chaim says, where were you? He said, where were you standing? So he told him where he was standing. Reb Chaim says, okay, now I understand why I couldn't see you. I was sitting here, I was the sanduk, right, Reb Chaim is the sanduk, and Yahu's chair was here. And you were over there, so Eliyahu was in the way. I couldn't see you because Eliyahu was in the way. So the old man, he said to him, he said, Rebbe, hold on a second. I've asked you in the past, who in our dar has had Gidei Eliyahu? And you said the only person that you think you could be sure has had it is probably Rav Shteyman. And here you're telling me you can see Eliyahu like that? So Reb Chaim looks at him as if he's mad. He says, and you couldn't see Eliyahu with the bris? That's not Gidei Eliyahu. Anyone can see Eliyahu with the bris, right? That's not Gidei Eliyahu. So Rabbi Yoman, see, he said to him, he took the opportunity, he said, I wanted to know, when Reb Chaim is sanduk for a number of brisim, one after the other, does Eliyahu come and get up in between, or does he just stay there waiting for the next one? So Reb Chaim says he stays. Once he's there, he stays and waits for the next brisim. What was Reb Chaim saying? Apparently, to see Eliyahu when he comes as a malach, anyone should be able to see that. Reb Chaim couldn't understand why no one else. Gidei Eliyahu, according to what the Chasam said, that's when he comes back as a human being. That's already only Yechidim in Adar. Says the Chasam Sofer, that's what's going on. Eliyahu as a Malach, He can come back on Shabbos. That's the malach habris. Say tonight, that's the malach. Of course there's no isur tachumin. That's not what we're discussing in the Gemara. The Gemara is talking about Eliyahu will come and be mevasa. That's when he will come back as a human being. And when he comes back as a human being, he's a chacham gadol. And taka, when he comes back as a chacham gadol, he's got the ability to discuss halacha, even and that's how they answer tishbi atarit. He'll come back as a human being at that time and he'll be able to answer the questions. That's the way the chasam sofer takes on. So according to that, the Maharabach now makes a lot of sense. He says, what's the problem? Eliyahu will come in the future, and he'll, when he comes, he'll give the smicha. What's your problem? Because he's a malach? He's not coming back as a malach in the future. When he arrives to be mevaser, before Moshiach comes, he's coming back as a human being in his body. However, there is, you may or may not have spotted it, in that Gemara we quoted, there's one whopping question on the Maharabach. There's one glaringly obvious question there. A question the Maharat Tzchias raises, a question in Erubin. The Rishash in Sanhedrin Daf Yud Gimel raises the same question, I think others as well. You remember we said, Moshiach, why can't he come on Shabbos? Because Eliyahu didn't come on Friday. Right? So the Gemara says, well, by the same token, on Wednesday. Eliyahu is not coming today Moshiach's not coming today because Eliyahu didn't come on Tuesday. To which the Gemara says, who says he didn't come? Well, because you didn't hear about it. Right? In other words, none of this modern technology is going to help you, yeah? Where did he go? Because he's going to the Beis Din HaGadol. Say, oh, hold on, who's the Beis Din HaGadol? That means the Beis Din HaGadol exists before Moshiach comes. Now I would have said, okay, probably Bedatz, right? The Bedatz or Nissim or one of the big Bati Dinim in Eretz Yisrael. We'll find out really who's the Beis Din HaGadol then. But no, take a look at the Ritva, and the Ritva says, we're talking about the Lishkas HaGozes. The Lishkas HaGozes, that's where the Sanhedrin sat. So that ask the Achronim, clearly you've got an absolute riot to the Rambam, to the Maribe Rav. It's not going to wait for Eliyahu to come. Unless you say it's Eliyahu when he comes as a Gilead Eliyahu beforehand. They don't suggest that one. No, what's going on? The emphasis, this is what I just want to share with you. If you look at, I'm going to read to you the words of the Ritva. And if you read it carefully, not only do I think the Ritva is not a riot, if you read it differently, I think the Ritva is actually a riot, punk faket. You know what the Ritva says? The following words. He says, Omnim on the Beis Din HaGadol also. Where's he gone? He's gone to the Beis Din HaGadol. Pirush, Lelishkas HaGozis. He's gone to the Lishkas HaGozis. Mekoim Beis Din HaGadol, the place of the Beis Din HaGadol. Kishom Yigal HaBitchilah, because that's where he's going to be revealed to start with. Do you know what the Ritva is saying? You can read it the way that they've all read it. I mean, it says he's going to the Beis Din HaGadol, where the Lishkas HaGozis. Don't think it's the Bedat to anyone. No, it's the real thing. But you could also read the Ritva. He's wondering the same thing as everyone else, which is, where's the Beis Din HaGadol? Until Eliyahu comes, who's going to confer smicha? So Eliyahu is coming to tell us about Moshiach. He's going to be the one to give the smicha. He's coming to the Beis Din HaGadol. What's going on? So to that, the Ritva answers the question. He says, Pirush, don't think it means he's going to the Beis Din HaGadol. They don't exist yet. Lelishkas HaGozis, he's going to the Lishkas HaGozis, Mekoim Beis Din HaGadol. He's going to the place of the Beis Din HaGadol. On the contrary, the Ritva is a raya that we won't have a Beis Din HaGadol until Eliyahu comes. Depending on how you read it. And therefore, the Ritva can be read. I haven't seen anyone who says it, but to me it's poshut. If you read the Ritva, it's a perfect raya. Now, you may be wondering, though, so what's the significance of him going to the Beis Din HaGadol, going to this place? There's no Beis Din HaGadol there. The answer is, and this will conclude, the following. There's a Mishnah in yesterday's Pirkei Avos and Perek Hei, Mishnah Chaf, you got that as, it says, as ponim le Gehenna. Right? Somebody who's got the middle of brazenness is going to Gehenna. Somebody who's got boisterous ponim, he's going le Gan Eden. And then the Tanna says, Yirotzen milafonecho Hashem elekeinu, shetivne irchod, you should build your city, v'sin chalkeinu b'seh, b'mheiro v'yameinu v'sin chalkeinu b'seh rasecho. So the Gan asks over there, he says, what is he doing? A tefillah in the middle of the Mishnah? He says, it's a mistake. It belongs at the end of the Perek, which is the end of Pirkei Avos, because Perek Vav is really just a brisa. But Rabbi Kiva Eiger quotes a Radach. I heard this yesterday from Rabbi David Duna, but it's a Radach. He says the following. He says, no, it's not a mistake. The Tana had a problem, and that is that in Perek Beis we said, Lo Habayshon Nomit. If you want to be able to learn Torah, you can't be a Baishon, you can't be embarrassed to ask. You've got to possess a certain element of Azaz Ponim. But Azaz Ponim brings a person to Gehenna. So the Tana turns to the Rabbeinu Shalom and he says, how much longer are we going to have to wait? Yehirotim elafonecho. The only reason we have to use this middle of Azaz Ponim to go and ask is because they're so such a lack of clarity in Torah. Kol Zman Rein Golus, without the light of the Beis HaMikdash, without the light of the Sanhedrin, without the Har HaMoriah, Shemisham Yotzei Ron Yisrael, that guiding light of Torah, we've got this lack of clarity. So we have to clothe ourselves in this middle of Azaz Ponim. Yirotzim Milafonecha Hashem Erekeinu, please bring back the Beis HaMikdash. V'sin Chalkeinu V'soyra Secha. Because the Beis HaMikdash is foundation. What's it built on? Har HaMoriah. Why is it called Har HaMoriah? Chazal say, Shemisham Yotzei Ron Yisrael. The foundation of the Beis HaMikdash is the Sanhedrin. Inside the Kodesh Kadoshim, the Evan Apino of the Gan Sabria is the Orin, the Ur Nun, right? The Ur Nun, 50 days, but it's the light of Torah. When Eliyahu comes, as we said, whether you want to say he'll come as a Malach, whether you want to say he'll come as a human being, whether he will be the one to confer Smicha, whether he won't. But one thing is for sure, when Eliyahu comes and he goes to the Mokom of the Elishka Sargozis, the Shefa Tal, as he says, what he will bring with him is a light of clarity. If you want to take his words as the closing words, Tishbi, when Tishbi comes, whether we will go and ask him for our questions, maybe yes, maybe not. But a certain element, with Tishbi's arrival, Yuturtsu Kushir's Fear Boyers. One thing is for sure, this lack of clarity will be lifted. With his arrival, he will, yes, kickstart the Sanhedrin there. Whether the smicha will already be in place, it won't be in place, but there will be this light of clarity. Be'ezat Hashem, we should be zeicher b'korov to see that light of clarity, the light of Torah, the light of smicha. B'korov yameinu.
When did kosher smicha finish?
Sure.
Smicha, is it before that?
No,
well,
when did it?
Sorry.